Hey, good afternoon, Fairhaven. Hey, and Merry Christmas to everyone. Springboro, Northmont, everyone here in Centerville. I hope this season celebrating the birth of our Savior was life-giving, stirred joy into you. And on a personal level, I'm just very excited that we get such an immediate opportunity to gather and worship and song, dive into the reading of the Word, and see what the Lord might have in store for us here today. And so if you have your Bibles, devices, however it is you can get God's Word in front of you, if you can turn to Exodus chapter 18. That's where we'll be at over the course of our time together. Exodus 18, we'll get started in verse 7, and we'll proceed from there. If you can get there, we'll start reading here in a few minutes, and that way we can just jump right in. Exodus 18, starting in verse 7. Now, what we're going to be doing in Exodus 18 is we're going to be looking at a specific interaction amidst a relationship between two men. And these two guys, Moses and Jethro, basically represent two different generations. And so we're going to be considering this interaction, their relationship, throughout this passage, and considering some different things, laying some questions for ourselves in our life. Now, as I say all of that, the question that arises is, why? Like, why Exodus 18? Why this relationship? Why this interaction? Why can't we look at another relationship or go to another portion of Scripture? And so I want to answer that question for you. Why does Exodus 18, why this passage matters for us today? And so I have three answers. The first answer I want to give you for why Exodus 18, why this interaction, is really the big idea for our time together here this morning. And that big idea is simply this. Healthy, multi-generational interaction or mixed gen health is necessary to live long and prosper. Healthy multi-generational interaction or mixed gen health is necessary to live long and prosper. Now, as soon as I say that, some of you resonate with that very quickly. Others of you are a little confused or have some questions. Just hang with me. We've got a little bit of time left together, and so by the end of our time together, this will make more sense. But that's one reason why Exodus 18 matters for us. The next reason Exodus 18 matters for us is because I don't know that there's anyone within an earshot of this message who doesn't have a space in their life that is often invaded by a variety of generations. And so just to maybe tease that out a little bit, we don't have to think very far back to consider Christmas morning, what that gathering around the Christmas tree looked like, or maybe what the gathering looked like around the breakfast, brunch, dinner table, whenever it is you gather. To remember that grandparents were at the table and aunts and uncles and parents, the college children were in town sitting next to the newborn baby cousins. I mean, you have this picture of many generations within this one space. And for anybody in here that might say, hey, that's just a once a year thing, or we didn't really get an opportunity to celebrate Christmas with my family this year, I would quickly direct you to the work environment or perhaps the education pursuit that you're probably involved in. In any one of those scenarios, you again find spaces that are often invaded by a variety of generations. Even those of you who would say that you're a serviceman or woman, in that world, in that environment, you're brushing shoulders with people from different generations. I know in my own life, I remember being caught off guard as a college freshman sitting between two mid-30-year-olds as we're all chasing after the same undergraduate degree. And I remember just being surprised, but you know, that was their story. This is when they could afford to chase after the same thing that I was blessed to chase at the age of 19. And if none of that resonates with you, work, school, Christmas morning, then I would refer to you to the gathering that's taking place here right now. Whether it's here at Fairhaven or if you're visiting us, maybe you're plugged into a congregation where you're from, but that's another environment where, again, many generations are crossing paths and brushing shoulders. And so this is a thing that impacts all of us. This is something that has potential to speak into all of our lives. And so that's the second reason I think Exodus 18 has something for us. But the third reason I would lay out, and this one's more of a warning, a little bit of a danger that's up ahead of us. And that is the fact that when you have spaces where many generations gather, These multi-generational interactions have the potential, if we're not careful, to explode into a terrible outcome. And I don't think that's hard for some of us to relate to. So let me tease that out a little bit. You keep hearing me use this word generation, and I'm going to continue to do so. And every time I use this word generation, I want us to be able to adhere to a generic definition, be able to operate from the same perspective. And that definition is this: a collective of people born and living at about the same time period. When I use this word generation, I'm referring to a collective of people born and living at about the same time period. And some of you might say, hey, Ish, so does that mean that since we're all living in 2015, we are all a generation? I see where you're going, but let me flesh it out this way. Those of us who were born and lived in 2015 have a different perspective than those of us who did so in 1995. And 95 is a whole lot different than the 70s were. And the 70s are a whole lot different than the years immediately after World War II were. And so the thing about all of those time periods is when we consider all of these spaces in our lives where many generations collide, these are all time periods that are represented in all of these spaces. And the thing about being born in and living in these time periods is they all serve to formulate a perspective that we bring to the table. And this perspective oftentimes consists of unique experiences, specific values, and in a lot of cases, baggage we've accumulated over the years. And they all shape up the perspective that we bring to the table when we gather in these spaces with many different generations. And so this is the kind of thing that has so many variables involved that, again, if we're not careful, it can explode into a tragic outcome. And so that's why Exodus 18 matters. That's why this interaction in this passage between these two men has the potential to speak something into our own lives. So here's the plan. The plan is we're going to jump into chapter 18, verse 7, and we're going to read through this passage, and we'll make some stops along the way, considering some unique components and characteristics of a very healthy, multi-generational relationship as exemplified by these two men, Moses and Jethro. Now, before we start reading in verse 7, I want to catch us up so we don't have to read all of Exodus to understand what's happening here. So in chapter 18, verse 7, one of the guys we talk about is Moses. And what you need to know about this guy is Moses is the kind of guy who was born an Israelite, but then adopted into Egyptian royalty. And so if none of that makes sense for you, all that means is he was born in one nationality, but then adopted into the royal family of another nation. That sounds like a really cool, awesome story, royal family giving a kid from another place a chance at a different trajectory in life, until you consider this added detail. And that's the fact that the Israelites were in slavery under the Egyptian people. And so what I just got done saying is that Moses was born a slave, but then adopted into the royal family of the nation who had all of these slaves he was born out of. And so it's the kind of characteristic, the kind of situation that years on down the line would create an identity crisis for Moses. This identity crisis would culminate in a series of events that led Moses to all of a sudden abandon his life of luxury, his life of royalty. And I say all of a sudden because he didn't have time to plan for this. This isn't something he saved up money for. It happened all of a sudden, and he left it all behind, went about 500 miles away, and ended up at this place called Midian. And in Midian, he crosses paths with the other guy in our text, Jethro. Now, we don't know much about how well off Jethro is, but we know that he does well enough that he can provide very generously and open-handedly the resources Moses would need to piece together a second chance at life, to piece together the new story after abandoning the life of luxury and royalty he'd grown accustomed to. And over the course of this relationship that would develop over decades, it actually ends up culminating in Moses marrying one of Jethro's daughters. And so Moses' children would be Jethro's grandchildren. And so it's the kind of second chance at life story that Disney would deem a happily ever after. And in the middle of this happily ever after, the God of the universe steps in and says, I've got a plan to free the Israelites from their bondage and slavery, and Moses, I want you to be the poster boy. And so where we're picking up in verse 7 of chapter 18 is Moses well into being the poster boy of this freedom effort. As a matter of fact, at this point, the Israelites have in fact earned their freedom, but they're in transition. They've not quite landed in the place where they're going to establish some roots. And so it's in the middle of this transition that Jethro calls in and says, hey, Moses, the in-laws are coming to town. Want to spend some time with you. And so verse 7 is this visit, this interaction between Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. And verse 7 says this. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. And so just in those two verses, two things I want us to notice. First thing I want you to notice is, notice how often and in what measure the Lord is mentioned here. So hold on to that. We'll talk about it here in a couple of minutes. The next thing I want you to notice here in this passage is how Moses greets his father-in-law. And here's why that matters. Moses is at a point in his life where he can't just hide behind a crowd. Like, you don't become the poster boy of a freedom effort for an entire nation without gaining some kind of a higher profile, growing in popularity, increasing in influence. And so what I'm trying to say is that at this point, Moses is a big deal amongst this group of people. Such a big deal, in fact, that if he wanted to, he could have responded to Jethro's inquiry to visit by saying, hey, come on in, I'm busy, we're gonna have to schedule it, but as soon as you show up, I'm gonna have a team that's gonna take care of everything you need. You won't have to lift a finger and it's gonna be incredibly awesome for you. He could have gone that route. He could have gone another route. He could have said, hey, we're in transition. There's no way I can make this work. Please talk to me 6 months from now and let's see if we can piece it together there. He could have done either one of those two things or anything in between. But that's not what Moses does. Amidst all of this progress, all of this success, this newfound profile he has in life, Moses is still able to set aside what's necessary to meet Jethro while he's still along the way, to bow to him, to kiss him, and to spend time with him, exchanging stories of who God is, what he's done, and how Israel is being blessed as a result of all of that. And in doing so, Moses highlights for us the first characteristic, the first component of a healthy multi-generational interaction or mixed gen health. And that component is this. Mixed gen health never uses progress as an excuse from honoring others. Mixed gen health never uses progress as an excuse from honoring others. Because at the end of the day, no matter what happened, Jethro would always be the guy who very graciously, very open-handedly stepped into Moses' life when he needed it the most. There would never come a point where Moses would experience enough progress, would chase after enough success that it would excuse him from forsaking the faithfulness of Jethro, that it would entitle him to overlook Jethro's previous faithfulness. Now, let me say this before I offer some extra commentary. The whole point of this passage is not to drop everything anytime the in-laws are coming to town. That's not what's happening here. And so if that's what you're receiving or you're elbowing one another, please stop, because that's not what's happening here. What we're trying to do here is highlight, illuminate a greater question for all of us to consider in our own lives as we interact with different generations. And that question is this. What role does progress play in how I honor others? What role do I allow my success, the progress I pursue, what role do I allow it to play in how I judge others' faithfulness? Because there's a balance there. Like, I get that your progress, your success actually helps you better recognize how to honor, how to judge others' faithfulness, but we need to have a very careful answer to what role we allow our successes, our pursuits of progress play in how we honor others, how we judge others' faithfulness. Because as we consider all of that, one of the things I'm envisioning in this gathering right now is there are those of us who might be listening to this who say, Ish, you don't know my story. Like, you don't know the story that I come out of. You don't know how crazy, how unfortunate, how difficult the circumstances are that I came from to experience what little progress, what little success I'm able to taste now. And so if that's you, let me speak to you just for a little bit. I don't want to at all undermine how terrible, how unfortunate, how difficult the circumstances you came out of might have been. But please hear me say this. No matter how terrible, how difficult, how unfortunate your circumstances were, it does not nullify that there was enough faithfulness present that allowed you to wake up another day to chase after what little success or progress you're able to taste today. That's a gift. The ability to wake up, to have another chance, to get up and try again, to chase after whatever this progress is, this new idea, this success that we so crave. That's a gift. And so some of us need to spend a little bit of time just begging the Lord, Father, help me to recognize where faithfulness was present in my story. Because things were so crazy, things were so difficult, it's hard for me to be able to identify. And so, Father, would you illuminate that for me? But again, there should never come a point where progress excuses us from honoring others, where our success entitles us to forsake the faithfulness that has already taken place. But if you keep reading, in verse 9, we'll get another characteristic of mixed gen health. Verse 9 says this, Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. And so in those two verses, again, a couple things that I want us to recognize. First thing I want you to see is, again, notice how often and in what measure the Lord is referred to. And once again, I'll ask you, hold on to that. We're going to talk about it here in a couple of minutes. The next thing I want you to notice is how Jethro responds to the stories that Moses is sharing. And the reason that matters is because Jethro could have taken Moses' stories and responded in any number of ways. Like, he could have heard his stories and responded in competition. Red Sea man, you split it? Dude, that's intense. Did I tell you about the time that I found a guy and gave him another shot at life, and years later he would get to split the Red Sea? Could have done that, one-upped him, but he doesn't do that. He could have responded in refinement or taken Moses' story and picked it apart for the flaws within it. Bro, 10 plagues? That sounds crazy. But did you really need 10? I could have pulled it off in 5 or 6. Could have gone that route. Or he could have straight up just ignored it. Hey, awesome. When's dinner? Hey, when are we going to move on to what's next? Could have done any of those things, but the passage tells us that's not what he does. The passage uses a very specific, very intentional word. Jethro delights in what's taking place. He delights in the stories that are shared. He delights in the progress that Moses is pursuing. He delights in how the Lord is being made much of throughout this exchange. And here, Jethro highlights for us the next component of mixed gen health, and that is this. Mixed gen health delights in others' pursuit of progress. Mixed gen health delights in others' pursuit of progress. Now, before I offer some commentary to this, two things that I gotta get off my chest. The first thing I wanna say is notice that I said pursuit of progress. And the reason for that is just because someone calls it progress doesn't make it right. But just because it's not right does not mean that this person isn't being a part of a process. Chasing any kind of progress, any kind of new idea, any kind of success is a process in and of itself. And so hear that. We'll actually get to touch later in this passage, a point where something Moses would call progress, Jethro lovingly steps in and says, bro, it's broke. But we'll get there. We'll talk about that. The other thing I want to get off my chest before I offer some further commentary is this. I'm very aware that I'm blessed to stand on this platform addressing an audience that consists of people who are way wiser and way more experienced than I am. And so what I'm about to say, I want to do so with as much humility as I possibly can. And where I fall short on that, then please hear me beg right now for grace. But with that said, hear me say this to the idea that mixed gen health delights in others' pursuit of progress. It can be easy, at least it can be easy for me, to look at someone else's pursuit of progress, someone else's success, and all I recognize within it is my own baggage. To look at someone else's success, someone else's pursuit of fruit, and all I see within it is the stuff that I'm guilty of, that I'm ashamed about, that I'm embarrassed of, my flaws. So hear me say this. Where all I can recognize in someone else's chase for success is my own shortcomings, my baggage, all that's a reflection of is something else I've yet to surrender to the God of the universe. All that represents is something that the Lord could stand to redeem and refine in my life. And so like one of the things that that's convicting me to do, I've done this for some time, but especially as I've been studying this, really, really pressed to do this, is to beg the Lord in prayer to refine me, to mold me, to shape me, to smoke out whatever is unhealthy and sinful within my life, because I know that the day is coming when an idea is going to be suggested, a progress is going to be pursued, something is going to be thrown down in front of me that I disagree with, that I don't like, that I have a hard time adhering to. And in that moment, when that's presented and I get the opportunity to speak into it, the last thing that I want to have a voice in that moment is my baggage. The last thing I want to have a voice in the moment of me articulating why I'm having a hard time with the idea that's presented before me is the flaws in my life, what I'm embarrassed about, what I'm ashamed of, guilt I've not dealt with. Because in that situation, I'm no longer contributing with my perspective. It is now baggage that's hindering the process. And so again, something for all of us to just consider this. Ask ourselves this question. How can we better delight in others' pursuit of progress? What work do I need to do in my own life? What do I need to submit to so that I might be ready to contribute and not hinder that pursuit when that day comes? Because the thing about it is, there's some of you who that new idea is going to be suggested to you tonight. There's others of us who that new concept is going to be suggested to us 20 years from now. In either case, that's the gift of time being given to us to surrender whatever we haven't surrendered to the God of the universe so we might be able to appropriately contribute and not hinder that process of pursuing progress. You know, the reality is there will be things that the next generation, there will be things that others outside of me will be able to accomplish. The gospel is going to break boundaries through other generations, through other people, that it wouldn't have done so under my watch, through my generation. And so I want to be in the best posture that I possibly can to contribute as best as I can to that effort and not hinder it. But you jump back into verse 11 and we recognize yet another component of mixed gen health. Verse 11 says this, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." And so here, this is not the first time the Lord is mentioned, nor is the reverence displayed in this passage the first time it happens. You saw Moses do it, you saw Jethro do it, and now Jethro's doing it again here in verse 11. And in all of that, we're able to recognize the next component on behalf of Moses and Jethro for mixed gen health. And that component is this. Mixed gen health has a common focus. Mixed gen health has a common focus. And I don't know that that's a hard idea for us to be able to gravitate towards and recognize in our own lives. It happens everywhere we go. I mean, if you just take the pro sports world into consideration, how often is a 19 or 20-year-old being drafted onto a team that's being captained by a 30-year-old who's being coached by a 40 or 50-year-old? I mean, that's an annual thing that happens in cities across our entire United States. And yet, regardless of how many different generations are being brought together, they have a common focus. We want to win the championship, want to win games, want to be better than last year. That helps them sort through the individual perspectives and experiences and values and baggage that they all bring to the table. And it's not just a sports thing. This happens in the business world as well. In the business world, you have a common focus. We want to make money. We want our brand to be recognized. We want to cure this. We want to accomplish this feat that hasn't been accomplished before. Whatever it is, it's a common focus that helps a variety of generations stand in the same space and sort through everything they bring to the table so they might be able to chase after it together. This is also something that happens in the arts and entertainment world. When a Christmas production is being put together, when a theater presentation is coming together, again, there's a common focus present in that world. And so here's what I'm trying to get across to you there. It's possible. We see it happen in all of our worlds, a common focus bringing generations together. But hear me say this. There is no common focus that will do a much better job at having eternal impact than the God of the Bible, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. When God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are the common focus, they are the only common focus capable of outdoing the test of time. Because the reality is the curtain closes on every production. Sports is going to come to an end, all right? Businesses open and close all of the time. And so to have a common focus that is reliable, that will outlast the test of time, that is durable, something for us to consider. Again, something for us to articulate and hash out. What is our common focus that brings generations together? And so as we jump back into verse 12, one of the things you're going to notice here is some products of mixed gen health. So with Moses and Jethro, they're able to honor one another, delight in one another, and they have a common focus. And now a couple of products are going to rise up as a result of all of that. And so verse 12 says this. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. And so in that passage, it's a simple conclusion to this day's events. What began as an interaction between two guys from different generations has now spiraled into this glorious feast, making much of the name of God that's now blessing others. They've found a way to incorporate other people to be blessed by this wonderful interaction that's taking place. And so the next component we see of mixed gen health is this. Mixed gen health creates a ripple effect that blesses others. Mixed gen health creates a ripple effect that blesses others. And this is an idea that very quickly reminds me of a situation in youth ministry where we had an adult leader who started to chase after a mixed gen health relationship with a middle school student who did not know Jesus Christ. And over the course of this relationship, eventually this young boy came to know his need for a Savior and claimed Jesus as his Lord. And in all of this taking place, the father of the boy, who also did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, was inspired and transformed through the experience that his boy was going through. And he too then came forward and said, I need a Savior, and Jesus is him. And so it ended up being a baptism ceremony where this middle school adult leader got to baptize not just the son, but the father as well. Now, if you ask the father, he would tell you that he did not lay out the stipulations ahead of time. Hey, if you get my boy, I'm in. He didn't lay that out. He wasn't expecting any of this. It was the kind of situation where mixed gen health was taking place, and it created a ripple effect that ended up blessing the father, whether he was ready for it or not, whether he wanted to be blessed or not. And so I guess what I'm trying to get across here is that when generations would invade spaces and interact in a healthy way, it's the kind of thing that will create a ripple effect that will bless the rest of the church, that will bless the community that we're a part of, that will bless the networks that we're connected to. I can't articulate for you exactly what that ripple effect will look like. I can't lay down specifically what the blessing will look like. But I can tell you that where it takes place, a ripple effect happens and blesses others, whether they want to be blessed or not, whether they want to be a part of this thing or not. And then in verse 15, we apparently end up in bring your father-in-law to work day. And so as you pick up in verse 15, both Moses and Jethro are at Moses' job, and Moses is trying to explain, here's what I do. Here's my job description. And so in verse 15, here's what it says. Moses answered Jethro, because the people come to me to seek God's will, whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. If you go on to read the rest of that passage, you'll see Jethro suggest a leadership structure that would make Moses' job run more efficiently. But you can read that on your own. What I want us to focus on is the courageous action that Jethro just participated in. The courageous action of saying, hey, there's something that's broke there, man, and we need to talk about it. There's a flaw in your system, and I see it. So let me share some wisdom with you. And it was courageous because it's the kind of action that, again, could have exploded into something terrible. Moses could have responded and said, bro, you've never stood on this platform before. You've never tasted this success, this progress. You've got nothing to say. Moses could have said, hey, I get that you were the guy who came into a very needy point in my life, but you're done. Quit trying to tell me what to do. He could have gone that route. Or Jethro could have just not sensed the freedom to speak into it and kept to himself. But because they were able to honor one another, because they were able to delight in one another's progress, because they had a common focus that then created a ripple effect that's already blessing others, they had what was necessary to have this exchange. Jethro sensed the freedom necessary to say, hey, bro, you need some help. And Moses sensed the ability to sort it all out. Hey, you're right. Let's hear it and let's implement it. And so the next product of Mixed Gen Health we see here is Mixed Gen Health amplifies potential. Mixed Gen Health amplifies potential. You know, the challenge in moments of receiving criticism and feedback, the challenge is to try and strike balance between a humble ear and courageous loyalty. Trying to strike a balance between I don't have it all figured out, so help me make it better. And we got to give it time. Fruit will not spring up overnight. We've got to let it ride. And so trying to strike that balance when criticism or feedback presents itself is already hard enough and only becomes that much harder when we have to deal with added components like, all I can see is my baggage as you're pursuing this progress. It only becomes harder when we say things like, man, I'm so successful, I've experienced so much progress that I can overlook your faithfulness. I don't need to honor you. When you incorporate unhealthy characteristics into these mixed gen relationships, it makes trying to strike that balance that much more difficult. And so when I said earlier that we need to be very serious and intentional about begging the Lord for refinement, to make us better, to mold us, to shape us, so that we might best contribute in that moment and not hinder the process, I was being very serious. And it's something that we have to do right now as we are so very soberly reminded here in this passage as it closes out. Jump down to verse 27. Verse 27 says this, then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. Now, that's just a goodbye. They split ways and went back to where they each belong. But it's a very sobering, chilling reminder of something that is real. We don't have all the time in the world. Chasing after mixed-gen health is something that's possible for only a limited time. Mixed-gen health can only be pursued for a limited time. And so we've got to be very intentional about figuring out, what does this mean? Consider these things, ask questions as to how we interact with other generations, whether it be the generation in front of us or the generation behind us as we're in these spaces. Because time is ticking. And so we've all got some things to think about. And this also includes another group of people who are in this gathering, who are listening to this, and that would be the group of people who would claim that they aren't followers of Jesus. And to that group of people, like I hear you, maybe you wanted to be home for Christmas, and the only way that was going to happen is if you put up with coming to church with your mom on Sunday morning. I hear you, been there, okay? But I want to tell you the same thing that I tell students. I worry when all you hear from us is do this, fix that, take care of this, clean this up to earn this. That's not who we are. We aren't a people who do anything to earn anything. It's already been earned for us, so we're free to chase after all of these things. Because the reality is, there's a day coming where death is coming for all of us. Death is undefeated. As a Christ follower, I would tell you, he found someone he couldn't hold. But you're not a Christ follower, so it just helps my position. Death is undefeated, and it's coming for all of us. And when that happens, we're going to stand before a holy and perfect creator, and we're going to be demanded to give an account of what we did with our life. What did you do with the gift of life, and why are you entitled to an eternity with me, is what this creator is going to ask us. And in that moment, there is one right answer. But the beautiful thing about that is that we don't need some group of academics or scholars or some search team to go figure out what that answer is. We know what the answer is. God, you sent your son to come do what we could never do and suffer what we should have suffered. And that created then an opportunity for me to claim something I could never earn for myself. Righteous standing before you. That's my ticket in. That's why I get to spend eternity with you. That's what I did with my life. And the reason we have that answer is because it's been passed down to us from generation to generation through God's gracious and beautiful gift of mixed gen health that has been taking place over thousands of years. And so again, ball's in our court. We've got some things to consider. We've got some things to think through. There are some of us who do this well. May you be blessed. Continue to do so. There are others of us who don't realize how we're missing the mark on this. And so what I want to do is, I want to close this out in prayer and just create room for the Holy Spirit to do in each one of us what he is best qualified to do. So would you bow with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are, Father. Thank you for the gift of this season to celebrate your birth, to capitalize on that opportunity to gather with friends, family, other believers, celebrate, and for the opportunity we've had today to worship you in song, to dive into these holy and beautiful words that have been preserved for us over thousands of years to help us better recognize who you truly are. And Lord, as we all head back to our own journeys, our individual stories, whatever our circumstances might be, Lord, we're all in different places. And the words that have been shared this morning, the message that's been brought, is one that leads each one of us to consider unique things. And so, Father, would you do the work that only you can do? Would you help us recognize what it is we're blind to? Would you affirm us in what it is we're doing well? Would you illuminate where we can stand to grow, Lord? At the end of the day, only you can do this. So go to work. Do what you do. Father, we love you, we need you, and we trust you. And it's in your holy and beautiful name that we say this. Amen. Love you guys.